I don't want to wait. I'm sorry, that sounded like I was going to segue into some Paula Cole. I don't want to wait. Sometimes we let the music bed go out, and it's like, yeah, balls out metal. Hell yeah, man. But you know what? I wanted to talk. Now pot down the bed. Be professional. Now that Gray Sky Eternal singing has started, I want to welcome to the show a man that I think you're going to be hearing a lot of from now on. Unless he has a horrible experience.
It's up to you, man.
I'm going to do my best to deliver. My very good friend, Othello.
What's up, dude?
That'll be your radio name, and it's also your real name.
Yeah. Well, it's not my real name. My real name is, like, too foreign for everybody.
That is true.
But it's my assimilated moniker.
My mom asked me, who are you doing the show with today? And I actually gave her your real name with the correct pronunciation. And she looked at me like I was about to shoot up Charlie Hebdo.
I don't blame her, man. I don't blame her. I have a scary surname, but it's all good. I come in peace.
Well, my Muslim buddy over here and I, we're going to do another episode of Papa's Basement. The show's site is inpapasbasement.com. You want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. Othello, you are...
Oh, yeah, at OthelloBT.
I love having someone with a simple Twitter handle on the show. Howard has not had a Twitter handle for months.
Really?
He's like between Twitter handles.
How does that happen?
I think you pick one that sucks. Uh-huh. And you're like, I'm going to come up with a better one, and then you never do. And you don't want to promote the sucky one.
It's a hassle changing your Twitter handle. It's like...
I've been stuck with it. And do you know how badly I need to jump away from the Papa's Basement branding?
Why?
It sounds creepy.
Sort of, yeah. A little bit.
It sounds very... I've tried to brand it as like Papa's Basement Show.
It's kind of endearing, though.
A little bit.
Little logo you got with the clown nose, and it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and because it's like, well, do you do the show out of a basement? And I'm like, no, I don't. And then people are like, well, why do you call it that? I have no good answer.
Yeah, you got to come up with something or change the name.
Yeah, I don't have a solution to it right now, but it sounds sex dungeon-y.
I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
Really?
I've always kind of liked Papa's Basement.
Okay, if you like it, the only thing I can think about in radio. That sounds a little like it. I'm going way deep on the JFK trivia here, but there was an overnight show, or at least like a late night, I guess you'd call it, called El Jefe's Hideout.
Hmm.
And the physical place, it sounds like where little kids would go, yeah. Basement, a hideout.
I remember hearing about that show. I don't remember listening to it, though.
It's this close to like Stephen's Tree Fort, you know? It's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I like the name. I mean, it's way better than, some of the other old school JFK names, like The Bald Truth or anything like that.
Goss's Garage. How dare you?
Stick with it, man.
I know you, by the way, through JFK. I should say that. So I'm slightly nervous. Not too much, but usually my co-hosts are guys that have zero radio experience.
Right.
And you've got a lot, like. I'm not saying that we had, a drive time show together or something.
Got a couple notches under my belt.
Yeah, we've had our pipes heard by the DC metro area.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want me to list the things I've done on here. Your audience probably doesn't give a shit, but
I'm just happy it's a dirty show now. I've been sitting on some good
fucks. I made the call right there. Yeah. No, but yeah, we both had some steady producing experience at well, it was The Fan.
It was branded The Fan by the time we got... That's how I got hired by good old Chris Kinard.
Right.
Our boss. I had put in back when it was a talk radio station. It had like Don and Mike. I think it was back to the Mike O'Mara show at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And...
it was Junkies, Big O and
Junkies,
Dukes.
Yeah. Dukes, I guess, was the midday.
Midday, yeah.
So who was afternoon? Oh, that was Mike.
Yeah.
And Junk. So who's the nighttime?
Who was? Oh, you know what it was? It was Loveline.
Oh shit! They just carried Loveline.
Yeah, man.
So lazily.
That's what I. That was my first job. Was like running the tapes for.
See, you were in there back when like I would have given a fuck about that station. I know this is really bad, given that I worked there for like 2 years after I'm saying I stopped caring about it. But that's how I got hired. Like half of the staff when they went from talk to like sports radio was like fuck this shit and just left. And of course like. I want to say a week after the format flip, I got a call after a year and a half of pestering CK. He's like, hey, you want to work here? I'm like, sure, what's the catch? And then I get in. It's like, you're going to be playing Notre Dame games on the weekend. I'm like, oh, no. So, you got me, dude.
The thing about that, though, is like, if you worked there during, like, while it was a talk station, the quality of the positions that were available were way beneath what they were once it flipped to sports. Like, once it flipped to sports, you could, you know, run the board or whatever. But before that, like, my two jobs were, like I said, running the tapes for Loveline, which was, I mean, kind of cool, but, you know, you're just sitting there playing tapes and making sure nothing crazy goes over the air. Mm-hmm. And my other job was sitting upstairs in this, like, tiny closet, and I had to run the dump, the backup dump. So if anyone, you know what I mean, like, if anyone let
explain
F-bomb
it to the people at home,
or, the backup dump is not, you know, what I do every night before I go to bed, but it is, like, this position.
If you have
held
a fight with the girlfriend, pulls back the sheet.
It's basically, you know, there's a dump button where the producer is sitting. If in case there's any curse words that slip or anything like that, they have a chance to hit the dump button, you know, so it doesn't go over the air. The backup dump is the guy who sits upstairs and is the backup to the producer in case he lets a F-bomb slip by or anything like that. So, you know, I was just sitting up there for hours, you know, just listening to shows, not really paying attention or doing my job. But that being said, I mean,
that's so much of radio.
So I'm saying, if you were working there while it was a talk station, you probably would have had a job that you weren't really happy doing. At least you got to be in the studio, you know what I mean? Running
oh,
the
yeah,
board.
Because once it went sports talk, I think everyone came in really fired up for 5 minutes, and it was like, oh, mm-hmm. we're going to take Redskins calls for 4 hours a fucking day.
Yep.
And your entire job, getting back to the dump button, is just to make sure that these assholes who think there's any hope left for this franchise while Dan Snyder still owns it, like, don't say shit on air.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Or like, start blaming his Jewishness for the reason the team's in the toilet. Just
heard
dump
a couple
that
of those
out.
Calls, yeah.
Oh, did you really?
I mean, we heard every, you know, like, you screen calls for the sports.
Yeah,
station.
I never got like Dan Snyder's dirty kite calls.
I mean, people are passionate about their sports, and they're also really stupid. So combine yeah. those two things, and you never know what you're going to get when you pick up those calls.
But that's the majority of our radio experience, both of us, just listening to angry Redskins callers for hours on end.
Oh, God.
And then getting bitched at because we didn't dump certain things. And it's like, we were never we received zero training on what to dump. I don't know about if you did. I never did. I was like, you understand I only know what to dump because I've listened to this fucking station for a decade growing up, and they talked about what they couldn't say.
Yeah.
It's like between that and Carlin's seven deadly words. That's my guideline.
I got a really thick manual that I was
did
supposed
really?
To take home and read. It was like 80 pages.
Okay.
And it was the day before my first shift running Loveline. And I think it was just assumed that I was going to read it, that I did read it, and I was ready for the show the next day, which I didn't, which I wasn't. But it worked out, I think. I mean,
you're here.
Yeah, exactly.
The station was not sued.
Yeah.
I got zero training, to the point they wanted me to come in for my first shift because I was like, look, I have prior board experience where I can press the buttons and turn mm-hmm. up knobs and shit. But every station has its own sort of setup in terms of the computer that plays all the commercials, and that mm-hmm. and you absolutely unequivocally need to be shown that mm-hmm. every station has a different setup, unless yeah. maybe you're going from like one CBS station to another. Mm-hmm. They saw on my resume I had no CBS experience, whatever. It was CBS on Audio Vault or some shit. I don't know. Okay, yeah. So I had zero Audio Vault experience, and they wanted me to just like come in and be, you know, run this
fine.
Game. Oh, you'll do great. Yeah.
Yeah, they got a sink or swim method over there.
Yeah, and I was like, shouldn't I train first? And the words out of the hiring mouth was, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Like, fuck yeah, good. I thought about it, I guess.
Dude, do you remember your first live show?
Yes.
I mean, it's like a totally different animal when you're running tapes on, you know, for Loveline. It's cool because you're kind of just in the room by yourself. You know, you have a tape, you're supposed to play it and make sure you stop it when the sheet says to and play commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, running a live show, like, there are people in there. If you're doing a weekend show, it's people who paid to be in there. They
yeah.
are taking it super seriously. You better have all their sound effects ready and have all this stuff ready. Dude, my first, I'll never forget this, man. Like, I had only run a couple taped Loveline shows until my first weekend shift, and it was what was it? It was not Goss's Garage, but it was like one of those racing. Oh, In the Pits.
In the Pit. That dude, Larry O. He still, I want to say like a year and a half out of JFK. I love Larry O. He's a fucking madman.
Yeah, he's
like,
crazy.
He is goddamn nuts. He's one of those guys who will like tell you about how he's a pussy hair away from taking over the world. He'll be like, John, the stats on our podcast. And you'll like go to Larry O's Twitter and it's like 242
dude,
followers.
Yes.
And you're like,
so oh, you know like, how seriously he took it. Like, it was not a game.
He
to
was
him.
Not, dude, and he wanted to be like Godfather about it. Like, yeah. When he left the station and just started recording in the back of an actual auto garage.
Oh, really?
He remembered me and called me.
Nice.
And for one episode, I walked into the back of a custom bike shop over in Sully, and they just had an MP3 recorder mounted on a stick with mics going into it. And
I run the stick for him.
Yeah, I ran the stick. I didn't run the board. I ran stick. And I hit the record button, got it recording, tweaked the levels for 2 seconds, sat there like a goon for a half hour, and he hands me a 50. Wow. And his partner, the guy who owned the actual garage, you could see in his eyes, he was like, this motherfucker will never make $50 for doing that little amount of bullshit ever
again. What do you want
again.
You to do?
No,
you did your job?
Took, exactly. I didn't ask for 50. He's like, can you come out? I'm like, okay, I have to shop at Costco.
Yeah.
I'll stop by and record your fucking show. Just get a freezer for the pizza and tortellini I bought. And yeah.
Sounds amazing. Yeah, but like it was, I'll never forget this. It was the most stressful 2 hours of my life. I was sitting there and I remember I was looking at the schedule like, please God, let this go smoothly. Like, I don't. And oh, and there was somebody who was supposed to come in to do the show. Like, I forget his name, but he was going to come in and do the live show. And I was kind of going to shadow, you know, and make sure that I learned
the methods
and stuff.
Oh, so you were going to watch a board up and learn during a live show. Okay.
His name was Josh. Yeah. He's a cool dude, but he didn't show up. He was like late or something. So they walk
what,
in
radio. Never.
They walk in. It's Larry O, and I shit you not, like six dudes. He rolled deep.
Dude, he had a fucking posse.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Larry O is like goddamn Lil Wayne or some shit.
Well, I think it's because, you know, it's expensive for airtime. I think they were like splitting the cost, and everybody wanted their own, you know, their mic time.
Oh, God, they were screaming. Who was the bald guy who would make like animal noises and shit? Do you remember him?
Nah, I don't.
They had a bald guy that I swear to fucking God, I thought he was like challenged or some shit.
Probably. I mean, I thought all of them were challenged, but they walk
if
in.
If you're that deep into motorsports, I'm sorry. I'm going to assume.
Dude, yeah, man. That's what they live for. But needless to say, like they walk in, they assume that I knew what I was doing because I was there, you know? And I fucking shit my pants when I saw them. I pretended like I knew what I was doing. And do you remember that old setup where it was the production studio at the old JFK building? It was like it was from World War II. Everything was dusty. Everything was gray. Nothing worked properly. All the mics were labeled incorrectly. But everybody knew about it because they had been working there for so long.
If you worked
there
for a year, you knew it inside and out, and you looked like an old fucking pro as you're like pulling out, you know, transistor tubes.
Right.
You're like a fucking operator in 46, like just pulling out wires. Like.
Yep. So we go, you know, the clock strikes 11, the mics are hot, Larry O starts talking, you can't hear anything. You can't hear a fucking thing.
Jesus.
And he's looking at me. Everyone in the studio is looking at me like, dude, what's going on? Like, why?
There's nothing
why
more terrifying.
Working? We immediately went to break. Like, 30 seconds into his first segment, went to break. I called Josh. Luckily, Josh showed up, and he was like, okay, here's what you do. And I ran to the back and, like, screen calls and never faced Larry O ever again. But, dude,
people
like,
will never understand, and I'm not saying this, like, I am as self-deprecating as it gets. I feel I've done nothing in my life. There is very little more stressful professionally than like dealing with live programming, be it radio or whatever, and shit's hitting the fan and people are staring at you. And you're getting $8 an hour, by the way, I might add. $8
yeah,
an hour,
in,
part-time.
Yeah.
I came in and CK gave me $10 an hour instead of $8. And everyone looked at me like I was the house nigger. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fucking had it easy. I was the high yaller beauty.
Wait, how did that happen? How did you get that?
Because I was making like $15
an hour. I'm like over
hour.
Here kind of angry.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Everyone else found out. and would just stare at me like, how'd you get 10? I'm like, can this is how they divide and conquer. Yeah. Can
you
we
were
not
grandfathered into it.
Can we not debate why we're making 8 and 10 doing a job as an adult?
Yeah, man.
Like, I made more watching kids when I was fucking in 10th grade during the summers. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe that they let that out, though. That's it's kind of a big deal around those parts.
Oh, it's so...
Making double digits?
Yeah, exactly. No, with no hope for... I had no raise in my 2 years there. Yeah. Not even a whisper of that shit. Yeah.
I mean, because they know that they can get people. Well, maybe not anymore.
Not anymore. I guarantee you no one gives a fuck about getting into radio anymore.
Right.
Like, they preyed upon the last generation of kids
us.
That grew up on Stern and Don and Mike and all that shit. And we're like, I'm going to be the next such and such.
Yep.
And now there's nothing to dream about.
They didn't even have to pay me, to be honest with you. Like, I could have just... I was happy to be there, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. I'm earning my stripes.
Dude.
The fact that we were getting paid was kind of like a bonus.
My first time, I went in JFK, and, like, I took a piss, and I was like, I'm pissing where Don Geronimo used to piss. That blew my mind. And you'd find, like, Don and Mike shit lying around now and again.
Or Stern, like, you know what I mean? Like, Stern.
Oh, like, even
DC.
Stern items were around?
No, I mean, I don't know if items were around, but, I mean, he was, you know, he broadcasted from JFK.
Did he ever go there? Like, I know he was syndicated out of it, but did he ever, like...
I don't know. Was he ever in D.C.? I mean, I assume
when
that he was
at D.C. 101. I don't know if he ever even, like, toured the station,
okay,
in all
maybe,
honesty.
Maybe not, I guess.
I know,
but, I mean, it was cool to have control over the same airwaves that, you know.
You were just that much closer than everyone else.
Right.
And, like, you grew up with a bunch of people that were fucking obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not kidding. I used to go to school my freshman year of high school holding a copy of Miss America. Like, a Mormon would walk around with his book or whatever, trying to convert people. I would walk around with Miss America and be like, excuse me, sir, have you heard of Howard Stern? Here's something funny he came up with. And I would just read people, like, passages from Miss America. That was even the shitty one.
That's awesome.
For
man.
God's sake, Private Parts was the fucking good
You're
one.
You're obsessed.
I was nuts
fucking
about
weirdo.
Stern, dude. That was, like, his all-time best, too. Like, when he was doing the OJ, you know, that whole... fucking debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Him talking about OJ, I went nuts listening to that shit, man.
Yeah.
I could not get over that coverage.
It just sucks that it's like going away or gone. You know what I mean?
It's
like
dead. And it's like no one's going to listen to podcasts and get into, said the guy doing a podcast or two.
Right.
No one's going to hear that shit and be like, oh, that's something to aspire to. It's like, oh, I'm going to hit a button on my phone. Look at me. I'm a fucking podcaster, too.
Right.
There's no hoops to jump through. There's no, like, farm program, if you will. There's no training. And there's nothing to get to once you have achieved all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, they have, like, that... that RAR, have you heard of that RAR social media?
No, what is it?
It's like, it's RAUR. Basically, people just like pull up their phones, press record, you know, talk into their phone for like an hour or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they send it, it's like they send it out to their followers, I guess. And it's just them, you know,
I
talking.
Had this app idea. Is
oh,
it just,
did you?
Is it just Twitter with sound? That's how I build what I was going to do.
Oh,
and my friend was like, that'll never take off. So
too late, man. Yeah, RAR. But
let's hit F8 to mark where this took place in the show, and I'll send it to him with a big middle finger.
But yeah, man, it's that easy now. So every, you know what I mean? Like having your own show is...
It's nothing. Yeah. And it used to mean the world. Like,
yeah.
I swear to God, dude, this is going to sound cheesy as shit. I was 25. I limped through college. Like, I lost all focus. I'm not a dumb dude, but I fucking bombed out of college by the end. I finally finished it. I wound up at a shit desk job that I fucking hated. And every day at 3, I would just pull out my little dumb radio, plug it in, and listen to Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to be what they are.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be the guy who gets to be funny to millions of, well, thousands of people
mm-hmm.
for 4 hours a day and get paid millions for it.
Yeah.
And when I really got into radio, especially at JFK, I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
I did it. And then I learned like what was actually being paid in radio.
Ugh.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, once you like find out about the ins and outs and the dark side of terrestrial radio.
But not like it's not even that people would be like, yeah, well, radio does pay shit. I'm like, no, but there used to be like hitting the place where it doesn't pay shit
yeah.
and that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like
uh-huh.
I remember, I'm not letting some big trade secret out here, but I remember when I was talking about like potentially getting hired full time at that at JFK, and I was talking to CK, and he's like, yeah, in 2010, I think we, he said, okay, 2010, they billed 20 mil. In 2011, they billed 10 mil in ad revenue. I'm like, dude, the fucking polar bear on a melting ice cap is like, shit, at least I don't have it that bad. I got a little more time than these dudes.
Yeah.
When you've lost 50% of your ad billing in 1 year, holy fuck, how do you feel secure about anything, man?
It's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, considering how difficult it is to sell ads on terrestrial radio, it's even more wild for me to like think about how much money these podcasters make that are killing it. You know what I mean? Like Corolla or any of the big time shows. Like the fact that they're bringing in like big bucks is just wild to me. Like, and it, how are they? You know what I mean?
But that's like, what's so annoying. It's so sink or swim in the world of pod. Like radio. Okay. There we go. Now I can think. You would start at like a shitty little market in theory, and then you would get to like a less shitty market, and you're honing your craft the entire time. And then after like 7 years, they're like, "My, go forth, my son. You are ready for New York. Entertain the Hebrew people," you know. And that was the thing. And like, if you were good enough to make it to that market, you made a lot. There's just not that process now. Did you see any mobility in radio? For me, it was like, you live in D.C. You'll never get a job outside of D.C. Work as the door guy at the station you want to get a job at, and maybe you'll be like the overnight host in 6 months.
For me, it wasn't that. It was the fact that if you wanted to succeed in the business, you kind of had to give up on the genre of guy talk and focus on something
else. Oh, by the time
else.
We got in.
You know what I mean? Like that was... Like you could still go on to be a big time like sports guy. You know, you can have a Tony Bruno show, Jim Rome, whatever. I mean, people can aspire to that, but there's no more like Stern.
Here's
like,
my life.
Yeah.
And like people can relate to that. And I think the death of that in some ways is that the veil has been pulled back on everyone. Like everyone knows what everyone else is thinking because they just give it away now.
Right.
It's just on Facebook. It's just on Twitter. Like, this is going to blow people's minds. 20 years ago, when Stern was like, yeah, I was downloading CompuServe porn, and then, you know, I can't stand fucking my wife anymore.
Yeah.
People were going out of their minds hearing that, because it's like, holy shit, that's how I feel. Now, you know how everyone fucking feels. There's no secret.
Yeah.
If you want to make yourself known, you're not sitting there frustrated in your car like, I can't do this, so I have to listen to this man like me make it, you know, put it out there. It's like, I'll host my shitty little Tumblr.
Right, yeah.
Like,
well, that and the Janet Jackson nip slip. Like,
oh, don't even start me on that, man.
I mean, ruined everything.
That has been covered on this show so many times.
Oh, really?
Oh, everyone who, you know, both of my listeners, they know about how Janet Jackson pulling out her fucking black saucer got
I mean, there's no reason, you know, everybody knows all about it and
shit.
Yeah. But I mean,
he's like Pescano in Casino. That's a reference that no one will get.
Yeah, you lost.
Just
me
rewatch
there.
Casino.
All right, we'll do.
De Niro says the guy pretty much sank the whole operation. That was Janet Jackson's hit, man.
Dude, she had no idea what she was doing, but fucking ruined everything.
It wasn't even jackable. It wasn't even like a, like, I'd love to fuck Janet Jackson. I don't care how much she looks like Michael or whatever. Just hit it from behind or some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I was hoping it would look a little better than that, because she has that famous like album cover where she's topless and some dude is like behind her grabbing her tits.
The Rolling Stone cover.
Oh, is that what that is?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a
great. But you see that and you're like, oh my God, like she's got to have an amazing body. And then the nip slip, I mean, you know, granted it was like 15 years later, but
yeah,
definitely.
You're like, where are his hands to lift that sad titty now?
Yeah. Yeah. But she also, not only did she shatter people's, you know, erotic dreams, but she also ruined our terrestrial radio hopes. Yeah. I mean, you can't fucking get away with anything anymore. Like, nothing, dude.
No, and it's so fucking arbitrary, too. It's like, what would be punished technically? Like, you can say it 4 out of 5 times on air, and it's so niche that, like apparently, you know, I mean, I guess it's not some big secret, but you shouldn't say retard on air.
Yeah.
And it's like, it would be said all the time, and then, like, one time, your boss's boss hears retard slip out on air.
Right.
And it's like, how the fuck did retard get out? It's like, is that what we're bleeping this week?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's crazy. Just they're so worried. They're so like nervous. The PDs, the program directors, just like running around, not trying to get fined, not trying to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah, so, which is how great art is made, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just say that? Two Live Crew was like, whoa, we don't mean to offend. If we have to change Pop That Pussy to something else, just let us know.
Yeah, man, but it's over. It's over, Johnny.
It is. God damn it. Where do we move on from here?
How many minutes did we waste talking about our lives?
26, 25.
That's not bad.
That was a lot. Do you want to talk about your fast food addiction? Another brave new chunk of topics for this show?
This is just a depression Monday for me, I guess.
Well, you came on before the show. We talked for like an hour, which is great. You let off all steam. That's pretty much like, I'm going to get laid tonight. Let me beat off three times right beforehand. Get any sort of pump up I had for it all over my hand and tissues.
Make sure this is as lackluster as can be.
Yeah, just all of the organic energy spent. But you're a fit dude. You're one of the only guys in radio where, like, I would say your body is a positive.
Thanks, man. I mean, I've got image issues.
The Mo dial to 10. This gayness goes to 11.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, I don't think I'm like, you know, Tony Horton in shape, but I go to the gym.
You're no
sometimes.
Ronnie Coleman, but.
No, I wish, man. I wish. No, but yeah, I look at this gigantic Burger King soda I'm drinking.
You're
telling me how great of a physique I have.
Yeah, Morgan Spurlock did that whole movie about how you shouldn't touch that shit and how drinking. Like, you're eating the way, because you disclosed to me, you're like, anytime I'm not with my girl and I am driving around and I see a fast food restaurant, I just pull over.
Anytime I have to go from point A to point B in my car without anybody else in the car, I have to stop and get some food somewhere. I don't care, like, it doesn't even matter if I'm hungry. Dude, last night I went to watch the football game with a buddy of mine. I had brisket tacos, a bunch of beers.
Where the fuck were brisket
and pizza,
tacos?
The Whole Foods in Fairfax.
Oh my God, okay.
I went home to catch the UFC fights. I wanted to watch them. You know, I wanted to make sure I was home in time for
them. I saw you tweeting about that. That filthy Irishman was fighting the Kraut. No.
Yeah, he killed him. But anyways, I was like barely making it in time for the fights, and I had to stop. I wasn't hungry, mind you. I had to stop at Burger King to get cookies. Who knew they sold chocolate chip cookies? And a Hershey's chocolate pie.
Wow.
Just because I needed it. I have this serious problem where
do it while you can. You and I have like the opposite metabolism. I'm like, I ate poorly this one day and I have now gained 7 pounds apparently.
Well, how often do you go to the gym?
Lately, like maybe twice a week. Yeah. But when I was good for four of, and I mean, I used to do the Virginia Tech football like training type thing.
Oh, nice.
Like, what is it called? A Chance to Win.
And I've never heard of it.
It was done by their strength and conditioning coach. Had Mike Vick on the cover.
Oh, nice.
So I believe I have an edition that doesn't exist anymore. And I used to do that manual. And even then, I barely lose weight. Fucking murdering myself in the gym, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't have a body that peels fat off it or whatever. Like, I'm just going to have to, like, I don't know, take a turkey baster and an X-Acto knife and start sucking that shit off of me sometime. Poe man's lipo.
I don't think I have great metabolism either. I mean, I go to the gym pretty often because I go with a guy who guilts me into it every day, which is, you know, a good thing and a bad thing.
No, it's really good. That's the best I've ever lifted was when I was with a dude. We were just always in this, like, subtle... Yeah, exactly, sexually. And after fucking my ass, we were in this, like, weird competition psychologically.
No, it's good for obviously, but it's bad because the second he's out of my life, I'm gonna be morbidly
obese.
This is
a gay off.
I'm ready for it too.
Who can say the thing that sounds most incidentally homosexual?
But yeah, man, I didn't do this before I was working out. I think now that I'm like, I go to the gym, I allow myself to gorge and
of course,
you know what I mean.
You go to the gym, you're like, oh, the pepperoni and cheese on this deep dish pizza is protein. Fuck, man. look at me, like 24/7 about the bulk.
Wait, so you don't hit up fast food joints like when you're driving around? I can't stop. Like I have
no
dude,
like
the other
well, I just
week
got the new car, so like you have that like at least 2 year period you don't touch the car. And then, like, something snaps in you, and you're like,
fuck this shit.
I'm just eating a fry. Like, the fry's not going to fall down. I'm eating it carefully. And then 2 weeks later, you're just at Taco Bell, and those little shit tomato diced cubes are just raining down on your carpet. Like, whatever.
Yeah, they just sit there forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Last week, this is actually kind of embarrassing to admit. I woke up, and it was like 11 or whatever on a Saturday, and I'm sitting around, and I saw a Checkers commercial, and I was like, you know what? Checkers sounds fucking amazing right now. I got up.
I don't need a commercial to tell me that.
I drove to Manassas from Reston. Wow. Manassas.
For those that aren't in the area, that's a good half-hour drive, I'd say, right?
I think, like, longer than that.
Really? Yeah, 35 maybe.
But it's, you know, here's the thing. It's like having an excuse, like driving somewhere gives me an excuse to listen to, like, a podcast that I haven't been able to check out
like
yet.
Like a Papa's, you know, Basement, I mean? Or a Papa's Football Podcast.
There you go. And I came back home, you know, kind of full, kind of depressed, just thinking about my life decisions. And by the time I was, like, you know, past that point, I was online on FairfaxUnderground.com. And one of the threads I saw was, is Tippy's Taco any good?
Like, Tippy's Taco's a shithole. There's your answer, Fairfax.
Well, I beg to differ. And I cared so much about that I got up and I was like, you know what? I have earned some Tippy's Taco for the weekend.
I will let them talk about you this way, Tippy.
So I went and I got some Tippy's Taco. And
don't get me wrong. It's like Tippy's Taco is a hole in the wall taco chain in the Northern Virginia area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to love it because it's, like, vaguely cheap. And again, it looks like a fucking shithole.
Wait,
like,
you, like, can't, don't base your judgment on the structure of the building.
Well, no, you walk in and you're like, the fucking toilet from Desperado is probably in the back of this place. And it's just, it's not good though. Like, I don't think it's delicious. And for what you get, it's not cheap. Like,
it's like, yeah.
The shit they throw at you should be like 30-cent tacos or something.
I love that place, man. I can't get enough of it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm this close to you just converting me. I'm like, after the show, let's just get
some
fucking
tacos. Dude, it's like right here, man.
Oh, you drive right past it. Yeah, it's going to be closed. I think they die at 9, sadly.
But yeah, dude, I don't know how I'm going to stop myself from doing it, but I do have a problem. It's for real. Dude, you ever watch Intervention and think, like, if you were on that show, or if I was on that show, and my mom was, like, begging me, crying, mm-hmm. you know, fucking sitting around a table with my family, begging me to stop eating fast food so much,
yeah,
there's zero chance I could fucking give her that. Like, I'd be like, you know what? I'll try, yeah, and then the next week I'd go to fucking Burger King. That's why I think that it's definitely, like, an addiction, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, dude. For me, it was through the Jim Norton show, actually, when mm-hmm. I really heard Jim talking about, because in this country, I feel when we talk addiction, it's like, are you into heroin? No. Pain pills? No. Booze? No. Or cigarettes? Then you're not addicted.
All right, you're good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what can you be addicted to outside of that? People do not give, like, any sort of credence to the fact that, like, there's so much you can be addicted to. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have substance abuse issues, but, like, I'm addicted to porn like a motherfucker. I eat not really fast food, but, like, just shitty processed, like, not the chicken breast and broccoli that you should be eating right. if you're trying to get in shape.
Yeah.
And I love sugars, and I am completely hooked on the internet. Like, even if it's not porn, there's Netflix and HBO Go until my dick works again a couple hours later, and then it's back to the porn.
I think it's probably because it's more common to have those sort of addictions than it is to be addicted to heroin or something like that.
I think,
like,
yeah, there's the exposure aspect.
I feel like it's a given that the majority of my friends are probably addicted to porn, or, you know, like,
yeah, or you show me food. Someone that doesn't look at it at least a couple times a week.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's why it's not given the same sort of...
Yeah, but that doesn't make it good. It reminds me of, like, the 40s when it was just like, oh, you got a cough, Timmy? Light up these Lucky Strikes. You know, and just, everyone smoked. That didn't make it good. It was fucking horrible for
that's
everyone.
That's true. That's true. It's like, the way it is, man.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but, like, porn... why am I doing this segment again? But, like, porn totally fucks with my ability to screw. At least it did screw.
Of course.
Yeah, you're like, why am I having to think about porn while I'm fucking a chick? Like, I'm inside a woman.
Well, yeah. You're like, I can't wait for this to be over.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can go downstairs. Yeah. It,
Bobby Lee's little brother. I forget his name, but he's a comedian. I don't know what the fuck else he does. Mm-hmm. Bobby Lee from Mad TV.
Yeah, yeah. I love that guy. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and the Macau Brothers is the name of it. It's a YouTube show he does. And he's going on and on about going to Macau and how he wants to fuck the shit out of all these prostitutes in Macau so he has great memories to jack off to.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, when you get into meditation, which is how I'm trying to combat all my addictions, I'm like doing a little meditation. The whole thing is to like sit and be still and be in the moment for once in your fucking life. And it's like, how not in the moment are you when you have paid to fucking gorilla fuck a woman? And you're doing it so that you can pipe off later to it?
That's crazy, dude.
That's you watching your own light. You're watching you. You know, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. It's like that, we were going to talk about it later, but that episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, God. We've been watching the shit out of Black Mirror on Netflix. We watch it together. Yeah, we hang outside of the studio. It happens.
Where that dude's like talking about spanking it to memories and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Well, actually, I don't know if it's on the same level because...
It is a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you're watching porn of you instead of going out and making new porn.
But in Bobby Lee's brother's situation, the sole reason he's banging these chicks is for those memories, whereas this guy just happened to have those memories.
This is like a 25-year-old Asian guy, and like not to stereotype, I'm not going to a dick size thing. I'm going to give the Asians where it's due. They fuck and they come deep like no other people. There's like 90 billion Chinese on the planet. Like those
That's
fuckers
a good point.
Fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, they get it done. And he and his buddy are just sitting around. They have to pop nothing, just Viagras, Cialis's, in order to get hard enough to fuck hookers so they can think about it later and jack do it.
Dude, it's a serious, like, I think it's called arousal addiction. I've, like, looked into it, like, arousal addiction. There's, like, a community of people who, like, try to, who have a pact to not beat off anymore because it's ruining their lives. They're called the Fapstronauts.
Fapstronauts. No fap on Reddit.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't handle it anymore. I had to reset my no fap badge every day. And then you get...
Every day?
Oh, pretty much. And then you get a message to your inbox and you're like, oh, is this one of the chicks I messaged from Gone Wild? And instead it's just like, the no fap bot has reset your badge. I'm like,
Son of a fuck. Yeah, man. It's... I mean, if you think about it, like... Fucking, we have seen, I always say this, like, we've seen, you and I and any dude who has access to the internet has seen more naked chicks than, like, all of his ancestors combined.
Combined.
Like, within probably a week. Within a day. Like,
yeah.
Within one beat-off session, you see more chicks than your fucking forefathers have seen.
You are able to find, like, to the nth degree what your thing is too.
Yeah.
Like our mutual buddy, Blue Shorts. Blue Shorts looks like Hitler Youth. Like his ancestors wore fucking like helmets with horns and shit. Blue Shorts loves Asian pussy.
Yeah.
That's his fucking thing. His ancestors didn't even know Asian pussy existed, dude.
That's a good point.
Like they could pillage and like fuck chicks in another village that looked vaguely like their own blonde puss.
That was the only option right there.
Yeah, like, that was it. It's like, oh, are you like the one woman in reproductive age, like that I can fuck in my little burg that I live in?
You want to do this? I haven't jacked off in 40 days.
Exactly. Like, yeah, because we live by campfires and then hunt together. So yeah, I have zero beat off time. Right. So you'll squat on my dick and I will explode in 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I don't think the human brain is meant to handle
no.
this sort of stimulation.
And now I can tell you that like I'm into fucking Puerto Rican bras with library glasses who are in tights and don't take off their sneakers
Dude,
while they're getting fucked.
That's just the beginning though. Like it I feel like it ruins, like, it creates fetishes for dudes
Because, oh, you go to the nth degree because you're just bored jacking it to normal porn.
Yeah, dude. And you look for, like, the next best thing.
Oh,
thing,
dude,
fucking...
my bro gave me a fucking Bang Brothers password. I've been on nothing but Monsters of Cock. There's chicks getting fucked with what looks like a Subway sub.
You see that guy Ramon?
Oh, yes. I've gone to the old ones. Yeah, celebrated Ramon's entire catalog.
Just a homeless dude who happens to have a fucking Pringles can in his pants.
Exactly.
Fucking living the dream.
Yeah, you're like, why am I enjoying a woman who's either being hurt or pretending to be hurt by the penis getting jammed into her? I felt I was a little Cosby. By the penis!
Yeah, dude.
Like, I'm looking at a dick that looks like eight of mine taped together. Why? Why do I like this?
It's kind of gross that you're into that, actually.
It is. I'm a sick and I'm a queer. So.
No, but yeah, man, it's probably going to be the downfall of humanity.
Yeah, it's already killing Japan.
Is it?
They have a negative birth rate in that country because the men are just fucking body pillows and the women don't have sex. Or if they do, they're just like raging whores. Where's the problem here again? No, they're raging whores on birth control that like don't
Damn.
Have kids.
I didn't know that. That's wild.
Yeah, that's where it's going to go. They've always been ahead of us on the curve.
That's true.
I think it's like one out of three Japanese adults is a virgin or something like
that. What?
At age 25. They've
really?
Got their V card. Yeah.
Jesus. That's crazy.
Fucking blue shorts just jacking it here.
He should move there.
He
Why
should
isn't he there?
Go there and he should fucking pop hymens like a kid jumping on acorns. He should go nuts, man.
He would easily like rule the land if he was out there. Because, I mean, you go out to like one of those countries, and I've heard people who have like blonde hair who go out there, and like people will stop them and like want to take pictures
the
with
blue
them.
Blue-eyed devil. Because
it's such a rarity. Yeah. I forget who. Oh, Bob Sapp. Do you know that guy? He's like this giant. Look him up. Bob Sapp. Okay. You don't have to look him up now, but B-O-B, like S-A-P-P. He's like a, I don't know if he's a bodybuilder or a, or like a fighter. He was like an MMA fighter. Terrible fighter. Like the worst fighter you've ever seen, but just a gigantic black dude who loves to do like wacky pranks and funny things. He just lived in Japan for a while.
Oh, I watched some shit with like Rampage in
Japan,
Rampage shitting
too.
On Japanese bro. I was talking about like, don't get me a cup for an Asian man. Get me one for my big black dick.
Dude, they just fucking post up because life is amazing there because they're like, I don't know, like a god. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody has ever seen anything like this. This gigantic black dude, and they just want to be associated with him. They give him all these advertising opportunities and shit like that, and he's just banging any Japanese chick he wants.
Yeah.
So Short should definitely move out there. We should talk to him about it.
We really need to. I would go there. I mean, I wouldn't get shit out there, and I would
Why
still...
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I might. My old man used to tell him. My old man was a sailor. And he said the Greeks, like, more than any other place, would just wail on the Japanese chicks. Like, they came to town, and they just fucked that shit. Because apparently, like, if you speak Greek, it's really easy to learn Japanese.
Wow.
So, you know, he could probably just, like, walk into any port and be like, show me where the pay pussy is or whatever. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. That's,
I've always wanted to go out to Japan just to see, like, what kind of like madness there is out there.
I want the shiny lights. I want like sushi on conveyor belts. I think they have like whorehouses where you get like tit fucked by the three chicks in the country who have like C cups or beyond for like $20.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They have like vending machines with used panties and shit like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Who wouldn't buy one? I'm not into panty. Like, oh, God, that's like a big panty selling fetish. I have no idea.
Yeah.
The instant panties are off a woman. And I, like, don't know where they came from. They're fucking disgusting to me. Like, I don't know about you. Like, one time, this should have been, like, a Mac thing on my part. Like, one time, my mom was cleaning under my bed when I was, like 21 or some shit. And she just pulls out, like, a pair of panties. And
oh,
she's
no.
like, whose are these? I'm like, ugh, get them the fuck. And they're, like, tiny and sexy. I'm like, I guess I did good one night. But, like, get that dirty shit the hell out of here. Yeah. Because, like, there's nothing hotter. And I mean this, there's nothing hotter than like a chick so worked up that she's like soaking through her panties and you see like some fat fucking puss lips through them. I'm really losing whatever female
kind of graphic. Over
yeah. But like the instant those are dropped and they dry, I'm like, is there a campfire I can throw this shit? Is there like a chemical toilet
yeah,
I can
dude.
Discard this garbage in?
Dude, the Japanese, they are into some crazy shit, man.
Like, I can do
fucking
a,
eel porn.
We can ride this for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
The crazy shit they're into. They're into, yeah, eel porn, tentacle porn.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to explain why, though, right? Because...
Well, it's because...
Because they censor, like, dicks, so they need, like, something similar to it.
Yeah, that looks like a dick going in a pussy, and so a tentacle works fine. So you can get, like... And they're probably going to pull it out and then sell it to Red Lobster for calamari. But you can see, yeah, like an entire squid, like the hook end shoved in a chick's puss.
Yeah, you'll see like chicks and like alien porn and shit. And I mean, you got to feel worse for those chicks than for like chicks in fucking San Fernando Valley who are just banging regular dudes. Like if a chick has to put a fucking live eel in her... vagina, like,
you don't recover from that.
Yeah, like how do yeah
like
how do you go home and just like get over that?
I wouldn't judge porn stars. Like if I were with some porn chick, I'd be like, whatever, it's a job. Like I secretly judge you, but not really. Yeah. But secretly I do. But like an eel girl,
yeah,
I would be like, are there some stairs I can kick you down? Like your father's shame is eternal.
Yeah, it's so much. I mean, it's just so revolting on so many different levels, dude. It's like, I don't even want
to
fucking...
I'm trying to think what other fucked up shit the Japanese are into.
Well, they're, you know, they are the originators of, obviously, bukkakis.
Oh, yeah, you know? Where you bury a chick up to her neck.
Yeah.
That's just a bunch of guys peel one off.
Dude, the other thing is, like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, like, every Japanese, like, porn chick I watch... acts like they're getting raped in all of their scenes. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they like make this face and they like kind of push the dude away. And the guys are like super aggressive, like going way overboard.
Yeah.
But it's not like that threatening because they have kind of like small dicks. And you just, I mean, I think that's not them. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's them acting or if that's just how like Asian chicks fuck. Like they just
maybe, like the same way cats fuck, because like yeah. Cat dudes have like a barb on their dick. So yeah. If you ever hear a chick cat get fucked, it's like,
yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, you just cover your ears, like yeah. Scared in your own bed. Just yeah, come fast, make it stop.
Yeah, it's I mean, either way, it's fucked up. Like if whether that's just how they fuck or if they're acting, it's crazy.
I wonder if it is the what you feel though if you're in a culture of that many like frigid chicks and like. You are assigned more or less to a life of just like jacking it and you can marry a pillow.
They marry their pillows?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's like a weird body pillow fetish thing over there that like I learned about through 30 Rock because like James Franco married his Japanese body pillow on the show. Nice. And I'm like, that was funny. And then I Google it and you find real pictures. You're like, oh, that is so much less funny. There's just some writer who worked for that show, who knew about this shit. So, yeah. Okay, creep.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, right. The other thing is, like, hentai and fucking, you know, cartoon porn. That shit comes from there.
Have you ever in your life jacked it to a cartoon? I haven't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably when I was, like young, though. Like, 15.
I mean, like, even Jessica Rabbit.
Not because I... It was like my first year of beating off, and I would just take what I could get. You know what I mean?
Batman,
it was like
the beginning of,
yeah, it was the beginning of the internet, and I was like just desperate for fucking tits.
So you like get the ones of like Hank Hill fucking Peggy Hill and shit like
No. The Bart ones Simpson and Lisa Simpson. Yeah, dude. What the fuck is up with that shit, man? And why is every cartoon character so well hung? Like,
oh God,
how does Peter Griffin have a giant torso? Giant
schlong? Yeah. Okay, that I'd watch. Like, not Peter, but like Lois Griffin.
Oh yeah.
Lois,
yeah.
I bet would be fucking.
This is kind of hot. Yeah.
Let's look it up now.
No, but I mean, you just imagine like this is the shit that we hear about. Like that's going on in Japan. Like that's why I've always wanted to go. I want to know like what's really fucking going on out there. Like. What do they really do, you know?
I have a friend who, like, has had sex with one prostitute ever, but he's obsessed with prostitute culture mm-hmm. and, like, knows everything about whores. And the depth of, like, their whore culture out there is astounding. Like, I'll tell you one thing that'll make you really sad. They view a lot of, like, foreigners as, like, dirty and unclean.
Really?
So you have to only go to, like, certain whorehouses that'll, like, fuck the non-Japanese.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. But that's not that's not really all that shocking.
No, no, they're incredibly, like, as much as you're saying they've switched it around somewhat and they're like, you know, this guy with blue eyes, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're still really like xenophobic in a lot of ways.
So they'll bang fucking live eels straight out of the tank, but they fucking yeah. stray away from that fucking yeah. dirty Yankee.
Our dirty Mediterranean dicks, apparently. Pale, you know, the eel, at least that came out of the goddamn Japanese right. ocean.
Well, I guess I don't want to go to Japan anymore.
They can vouch for that. Yeah, like, they're shoving sea urchins in their asshole. It's like a horrible Little Mermaid rendition. And, the uncut Under the Sea. And yeah, we can't get a fucking blowjob.
Yeah, I mean, even if I wouldn't get fucked by a prostitute, I'd like to see what kind of shit goes on down there.
It's just one of those weird countries that, like, anyone in America, I feel beyond a certain age. Like, if you grew up past Pearl Harbor, like, what, Japan, it just sounds great. It's like the home of sushi and Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Hello Kitty.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
Like, even and if Asian porn. Chicks aren't your thing, no one's, like, anti-Asian chick.
Right, yeah.
It's like vanilla ice cream. Even if you're like, vanilla ice cream is boring as shit. If I'm like, hey, oats. You want a vanilla milkshake? You'd be sure, what the fuck?
That's true, yeah.
They're like a universal donor. There's no one that wouldn't fucking Asian. Like, a dude incredibly about black power who wouldn't, like, touch a white woman. It's like, hey, you want to fuck this Filipino bro? It's like,
yeah.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. And, I mean, anything that's, like, weird and crazy, like, anything you hear about, like, a fucking black Big Mac from McDonald's that's limited release.
Squid ink.
It's always going to be in fucking Japan or one of those countries, you know?
Dude, they have like the weird chip flavors or some shit. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
then they have like a train station that has a cat running it.
Do they really?
Yeah.
You know a lot about Japan.
He has like
dude.
A little outfit they put him in.
You, what's it called? Japanophile?
Nipponophile, I think.
Nipponophile?
Yeah, that's like the word for Japan in Japanese, Nippon.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not Japanophile?
It might be. I don't know. Maybe it's both.
All right.
Agree to disagree.
Agree to agree.
Yeah, I guess that would be it, technically. I mean, we're at the 50-minute mark. We can punch out if you want and just go straight to the football show. We don't have to plug this into any sort of hour-long programming block. Although, you know what? Let's be profesionale, as they say, en espanole. And let's give them a final 10 minutes.
Sure. Do you want to talk about Black Mirror? Since I've been obsessing over it since you showed it to me.
Yeah, Black Mirror, people who no one's made it to this point in the episode. It's going to be you listening at work tomorrow, and that's it. Black Mirror is a Twilight Zone-esque show that the British made. So it's British made is obviously better than anything we do, by the way.
Yeah.
Another country I'd love to visit.
Yeah.
London, Japan, and like Scandinavia.
What?
Yeah, like where it's all cold and snowy.
Okay.
Like, because I just saw...
Just want to see that shit?
Yeah, I saw the landscapes on Lilyhammer, another Netflix show. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every place I want to go in my life is
on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool.
And they do a... It's Black Mirror. It's a kind of Twilight Zone-esque show, except it's all focused on, like, the near future or kind of like an alternate twist on what we have now. Everything is social media-based, though. Like, every episode deals with technology or social media and how it's like fucked our lives horribly.
Yeah.
I think you'll watch every episode and be disgusted with yourself the next time you touch your phone. After
yeah,
saying,
dude.
Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, definitely.
Or like
man.
You'll watch it and you'll just shut off the monitor and you'll be like, why did I do this? And
there's like a depressing life lesson in every episode.
Yeah. Twilight Zone would just like blow your mind. You'd be like, oh shit, that guy was an alien the whole time and stuff like that. Black Mirror just without fail hammers home a point, unless you're incredibly fucking dumb, hammers home a point where you without fail you're like, why am I looking at this screen instead of living life? And then it makes you want to look at a screen and watch another episode.
The one that stuck with me is the American Idol one.
Yes, that my friend was obsessed with that one too. The second episode of series one.
Yeah.
As the British call seasons. Series.
Well, we're basically, you know, there's this guy and he is working as a basically just like a factory worker on a bicycle all day, and that's just daily life for any adult in that country or city or whatever. And the only hope, the only chance you have of escaping that monotonous life is taking your chance at going on a talent show, and maybe somebody will offer you some sort of gig where you can get out of riding a bike. And
yeah, it's this dystopian future, and there's one of three life paths. You're either a fatso who cleans up garbage and takes verbal insults from option two, the slim people who just run on treadmills all day to provide power, I guess. I think it's like a Matrix type thing.
Right, right.
Where instead of being like a slimy little fetus thing with a head plug, you're just on a treadmill, and then you go back to a room that's pretty much the size of a cubbyhole that has monitors all over the walls, and you're like just deluged with nonstop porn.
Yeah.
And no one actually seems to fuck. You just see porn and like come all over yourself, and then like play video games with your room monitors.
Yeah, and you have like these points that add up, you know, the more you work, and you can use them for food, or, you know, it's their currency. You can use them for if you want to buy, you know, a porn DVD or whatever. Yeah. Not DVD, if you want to watch it in your room, or you can spend a shitload of the points you've added up on a ticket to get into this talent show.
Yeah, they're American Idol. And that's their option three.
Yeah.
And what did you like about that one, man? Because that one, everyone seems to focus on that one as like the masterwork of that show.
I mean, it was depressing as shit. Because the guy like spends all his money.
Spoilers. You can turn off the rest of the show if you want to watch this.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. I should have given the heads up.
We're not giving away shit.
Fucking...
There's a twist.
Money.
Oh, we spoiled it.
To fucking get this chick who he's in love with to be on the talent show because she has an amazing voice. And then they turn her into like a porn star, even though she has an amazing voice.
Yeah. And it's like, you could sing, but we really need chicks that fuck.
Dude, yeah,
that's
man.
That's the universal currency.
Oh,
here.
God, dude. That made me feel so guilty for watching porn like I did later on.
Because you saw this woman before, she's pornified. And then like... they go dirty with the porn, too, for a show that's just, like, on British television or whatever. It's like, you just see this, well, I'll not pretend to be colorblind. You see this big black hand, like, jammed on her face and, like, the thumb in her mouth and just, like, smearing.
Open up your mouth.
Yeah, smearing her Courtney Love lipstick. Oh, you're just like, God, oh, dude. How can I jack? And then 10 minutes later, jack.
And the dude who, like, was in love with her was forced to watch it because you have no choice when you're in your... little cubby.
Yeah, you see porn ads, and you have to pay to skip porn ads. And he pissed away all his cash getting her on this American Idol. So then he's forced to just watch her get fucked by another guy.
Yeah, dude. And the fucking, the scene where she is sitting there, like, trying to decide whether or not it's worth it to, you know, become a fucking porn star or go back to this shitty-ass life.
Treadmill time, yeah.
So fucked up, man. Like... so I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you think about it and you're like, damn, like, what would I fucking do? And the fact that, like, the dude, like, did everything he could to confront the judges, earn, you know, that crazy 15 million points or whatever he had to get to confront them, and they sell him on some, like, other... He was basically he basically confronted the judges because he wanted to be like, fuck you for doing this, and he delivered like this really powerful scene
with a huge piece of glass to his neck that he smuggled in. He's like, I'm going to kill myself. Which, by the way, I watched that scene and I'm like, that wouldn't have worked with an American audience. Like the instant you have glass to your neck, and he's like able to silence everyone by saying, you know, let me talk or I'll ice myself, and everyone's like, shh, shh, let this man talk, and America be like, fucking kill yourself, faggot, stop wasting our time.
That's true. Fucking British sympathetic assholes.
Yeah, they're still softies at the end of the day.
But yeah, man, they sold him on some fucking dream that got him to completely forget about the reason he was there in the first place, dude. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Brutal,
man.
Brutal ending on that one. Yeah. We didn't give away everything, so you can still watch it. He goes into gay porn. There, we gave away everything. All right, well, on that note, I think we can... this is our new outro music, by the way. Isn't it happening? This is my brother's band, Gray Sky Eternal. I don't like this little intro part. I may have to clip it, because like the first like 16 bars sounds like fucking Godsmack circa 98, and then it gets really good. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it picked up.
It sounds like a wrestler's intro music.
Exactly. You're right. Triple
Is
H
that
should
messed
come out
up to say.
No, what the fuck do I care? I just said it like Godsmack. It wasn't exactly high praise.
Sure.
All right, folks. This was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Othello. We'll just call you that, like Cher. I mean, it's that simple.
Cool.
Not that there's like any sort of anonymity that comes with it. People who know Othello in real life won't be like, maybe it's another Othello.
Right, right.
Show's website again, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever recorded. If you do the podcast thing, if you're into that scene at all, please subscribe to the show. That's what really helps us and gets our numbers up in theory, if anyone did it. Do that using, if you have any sort of iDevice, their podcast app. And if you are into the Android phones because you are foreign and poor or a nerd, use Stitcher instead. That's what we've concluded, by the way, Droid users are.
Oh, yeah? They're foreign and poor?
Foreign or poor or a huge nerd.
Okay.
Who needs this much more processing? And we'll throw an iPhone under a bus for it. You want to get hold of me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. Othello is at OthelloBT.
Yeah.
And until the next one, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.